service. I want to start this morning by asking a question. What do you say to someone who sneezes? And we've heard some sneezes this morning, haven't we? Okay. Do you say Gesundheit? Or do you say God bless you? God bless you, or God bless, or bless you, as most of us know, is a common English expression used to wish a person blessings in various situations, especially, and this was in the definition, especially in response to a sneeze, or as a benediction, like just before going out the door. Let me give you a little background to that. I found out that during the plague in the year 590 AD, Pope Gregory ordered unceasing prayer for divine intercession. Part of his command included that anyone who sneezed should be blessed immediately. God bless you. Since sneezing was often the first sign of the sickness. Actually, blessing someone who sneezes dates further back than this. Legend says that people once held the belief that a person's soul could be thrown from their body when they sneezed. And if you have ever heard me sneeze, you might believe this to be true. Thank you for that confirmation, Pastor. I once sneezed so hard that my desk chair rolled all the way across the chair mat in my office. And then they thought by sneezing, this could allow the body to be open to invasion by the devil or evil spirits. So then again, God bless you was to take care of that. And somewhere in my childhood, I'd heard that some people believed that your heart stopped when you sneezed. So saying God bless you was a way of restarting your heart. I'm not sure how legitimate it is to bless yourself, but if I'm alone and there's no one hearing me sneeze, I'll mutter, bless me, just to be safe. There are other responses to sneezing. One that we have appropriated from the German, and I've already mentioned, Gesundheit, which means health. I always thought, and maybe you did too, that because there are three syllables in Gesundheit, that it corresponded to God bless you. But no. It only means health or health to you. Again, thinking that it wards off sickness. And in some cultures, sneezing is actually a sign or symbol of good luck or of God's kindness. But what I'm trying to illustrate is that sometimes we throw out God bless you or bless you almost mindlessly without thinking about what we're actually saying. For example, I have blessings as part of my automatic signature on my email. It goes out on every email I send, and I don't have to think about it. And if you're friends with Gary and I on Facebook, and your birthday pops up, I will send you happy birthday blessings, and some of you have gotten that, again, out of habit. So let me share with you what started me on this topic of blessing and what it means to bless. It was at last year's prayer breakfast when the person assigned to pray for the business owners and businesses said something which prompted me to question what a blessing is really about. What this person said really bothered me, and I wish I had written it down because now I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something along the lines of let them prosper and their business grow. Which in itself isn't wrong, but it struck me that it was said in such a way that it made it sound like the blessing being asked for was only for profit or for wealth. Maybe they didn't mean it this way, but that's what I heard. To me, it had shades of the prosperity gospel. You know, health, wealth, and success if you obey God. Or the popular prayer of Jabez from a few years ago, enlarge my territory. Just as a side note, when I Googled prosperity gospel, I got some very interesting results. Like a destructive greed sect, or rooted in American occult tradition called New Thought, or this title, Five Sure Signs That You've Been Hoodwinked by the Prosperity Gospel. But today I want to give a brief overview of bless and blessing and what to bless and being blessed should mean for us as Christ followers. There are plenty of different ways that could have gone with this, so I warn you this might be part one of a multi-part sermon. And while this message isn't directly related to the revival series, as I had settled on my topic for today before Pastor Keith had landed on his, there may be a backdoor application in here somewhere. So I want to look at Matthew 5, verses 1 through 10. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And no, there are no PowerPoints today. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, this is the passage of Scripture most commonly referred to as the Beatitudes, where you may be used to hearing blessed or blessed, King James Version. But I like how the New Living Translation puts it. The verb is in the present tense. God blesses. For you word nerds, as I'm one, beatitude in the singular means supreme blessedness. I always used to think that the Beatitudes were be this attitude. But this is not a message on the Beatitudes themselves, but rather on the word bless or blessing. Continuing with the word nerd theme, the Hebrew word most often used for bless is barak, which is a verb that means to kneel, as one would kneel to receive a blessing. It also means to praise, to congratulate, or salute. But another verb tense of that word is that it means to show respect, which is also typically translated as bless. Another related Hebrew word, barakah, means gift or present. So it can mean to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect or to give something of value to another. And now on to the Greek. There are several words used in the New Testament Greek for blessing, and depending on where and how the word is used in a sentence determines its meaning. The verb tense of one of the Greek words for bless, eulogio, from where we get the word elegy at a funeral, eulogy, means to speak well of, to praise, to celebrate with praises. Without getting into the technical terms of Greek verb tenses, it can also mean to invoke blessings upon a person, to consecrate a thing with solemn prayers, to ask God's blessing on a thing. Now, the Greek word used in the Matthew passage and other places in the New Testament is makarii, or makarios, which gives the meaning of blessed, as a state of one who has become a partaker of God, to experience the fullness of God. I'm not really sure if the English translations of these words give the exact nuances that are meant in the original language. Gary often says, I think there's things lost in translation. We just don't quite get the meaning of what the word really is. But I'll give it a shot. What does it mean when God blesses us? Some, if not all of us, typically think of God's blessings as him giving us good things, such as health, family, possessions, prosperity. And we read in the Old Testament of God doing such things for his people. Not quite along the lines of the prosperity gospel, but we might be closer to this than we think. But in Genesis 12:3, God also declares to Abraham that all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This blessing is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the New Testament. Ephesians 1:3 states that as believers, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, and as a result, we are called to be a source of blessing to the world. This means that as Christ followers, blessed with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are to pass on this blessing to unbelievers. I've already touched on a little bit the aspect of material blessings versus spiritual blessings. I recently came across an article about what does it mean to be really blessed, or what does it really mean to be blessed, which pretty much reinforces the premise of this message. Like me, the author didn't find any hint of material prosperity or perfect circumstances in any New Testament reference. On the contrary, blessing is typically connected with either poverty or trial or the spiritual benefits of being joined by faith to Jesus. She went on to explain that the scripture shows that a blessing is anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in him. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus. God's greatest blessing always rests in God himself. When we have that, we are truly blessed. How many of you have heard the song Blessings by Laura Story? It's one of my favorites. This is the line that gets me every time. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Something, anything that draws us closer to God. What does it mean when we bless God? Most of us realize that our blessings come from God, as we sang in Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And our response is to sing thy grace and call for songs of loudest praise. And as we sang 10,000 Reasons, bless the Lord, O my soul, means that we are praising and exalting him, worshiping him. It is only when we have been blessed by God that we can bless him in return. There are many scripture references, particularly in the Psalms, where the writer blesses God. This means that we are giving him the honor and respect that he deserves. Blessing God is another thing that draws us closer to God. So what does it mean when we bless others? Beyond a God bless you when they sneeze, which could mean that I pray God gives you good health. Or do we mean that we hope God blesses you with success and wealth? I don't know about you, but if I were God, I wouldn't grant me unlimited riches, as I probably wouldn't be very wise with them. And number two, I probably think it came about as my own effort. So no, I would like to think that when I say God bless you, it means that I pray that God would provide not only for your material needs, but more importantly, that God would grant you what would draw you closer to Him. Whatever it is that would lead you to living a life fully satisfied in Him. Our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, verse 7 said, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." The thought of the day on the front of your worship bulletin came from a devotional book that I've been going through called Words on Worship by Charles Billingsley. He says, "The blessed life is the life that delights in the Word of God and the things of God." He references Psalm 1, verse 3, which parallels our Old Testament passage in Jeremiah, where those who delight in the Lord are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. These verses of blessing tells us that our days will be fruitful and our lives will bring prosperity, but prosperity in the eyes of God is not the same that exists in the eyes of man. Being fruitful does not mean being wealthy. Success doesn't always equate to riches. So this is what I pray and ask for God's blessing for all of us, that we live the blessed life as those who delight in God, anything that draws us closer to Him. I know it might seem to you that we've only uncovered the tip of the iceberg in terms of bless and blessing. I may not have actually said what constitutes a blessing. Hopefully I've piqued your interest to explore this more. Or like I said when I started, there may be another sermon or two in here. And I know that sometimes the more I study something, more questions are raised than answered. But that's God. God is mysterious. It's hard to understand God. I also told you I was going to somehow tie this into the revival series. Here's what I was thinking. As we go about our lives as Christ followers, and we use the phrase, "God bless you," or whatever phrase of Christian ease that you may say off the top of your head to someone, can we be more intentional about how we use our words, mean what we say, and say what we mean, give a meaning to "God bless you"? Not just reciting a list of people that we want God to bless, like a child's bedtime prayer, although that isn't bad. Revival in our personal lives, in the life of ABC, in the life of the church and the world, means that we ought to take an intentional look at what's working or what's not working, a review, if you will, to be more aware of how we live as Christ followers. There's power in words, and the Holy Spirit works through our words in how we relate to and encourage each other, and in how we influence those around us who need revived or even reborn into God's saving grace. Maybe we even need to be more intentional in our self-talk as well. I was going to try to close by being clever, like faking a sneeze and seeing what response I might get. But here's what I would like us to do. I want you to take a moment to think about what you will mean the next time you tell someone, "God bless you." Now, please stand. And take a look around the room. I want to encourage you to pick out one or two people for you to say, "God bless you," to in the time between the end of the service and when the baptism starts. Not right now. Maybe even go as far as saying what you are blessing them with. Or if you're not comfortable with that, do it sometime during the week. With someone in your own family, think about how powerful that would be. or maybe for someone you don't even know very well. Would you pray with me?